Parshas Ba'alotzecha, we see that the Torah uses not the standard lashon for hadlaka, of lighting. Instead of the lashon of madlik, it uses Ba'alotzecha. And as Rashi brings from Chazal, one of the things is to teach us that the halacha is, when lighting the menorah, one has to make sure that he doesn't take his hand away from lighting it, because as we know, if you take it away too fast, it can flicker out. So he has to make sure that it stays till rov of the wick is lit. And as the Moshe Zatzal explains in Darash Moshe, the symbolism also as far as Limud HaTorah, because we know the Luchos symbolized Torah Shebichtav, Sefer Torah, whereas the Menorah symbolized Torah Shebaalpeh. And therefore we learn from this that that's the same as teaching Torah also. The Rebbe has to make sure that the Talmud will one day be able to oile me'elav, to be a Rebbe himself. We can say also on the one who's learning that he himself should be able to be mechadish chedushim, Paskin, reach the highest heights and levels that he's capable of, to be Eila. Also, as we know, the Netziv, for instance, says that the seven branches of the menorah symbolize the seven chachmas of the world. For instance, math, science. You can put all of them into these seven basic general chachmas. Not, of course, garbage and degeneration, but true chachmas. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, when it's brought down that we make a bracha even on one of the chachamim of the Umas HaOlam, of course, one that's very big in Chachma, a true Chacham, Aristotle would probably be an example. And the Mefarshim say that that's only, of course, in these seven Chachmas, the true Chachmas. And with that also, the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that that's the point of the Ba'alotzecha also. And you can say also, besides what Rashi brings, the fact that it's mentioned again, it does again use the Lashon of Hadlaka, let's say in Pasuk Gimel. So it's in order to teach that these Chachmas also Hashem made in order to lift up, to be Ole, the Torah, of course. As the last Mishnah in Avos says, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olam lo bara l'chavodai. And as the Mechilta mentions, that every single thing in the world can be used for good or bad, which is also logical. Of course, anything that Hashem created cannot be bad. Of course, we have the choice to use it for good or bad, but the ideal, what Hashem wanted, is to every single thing in the world to be used for good. Even when the Medrash says, Tov Me'od, Sheishis, Yimei Breishis, Ze Yetzahara, to use the Yetzahara for good, as we can understand many examples. When we channel it for the good, for Torah, for Ritzein Hashem. So that's the point here also. That's what these chachmas were made for. everything in order to uplift the world in the way of the Torah, not to use it for the garbage or degeneration that is used sometimes. Even the internet, as we all know, can be used for Rachmana Litzlan, the worst averus, and it can also be used for the greatest mitzvahs of the Torah. To have shiurim worldwide from any place in the world, to have all the svarim at your disposal, to be used for Torah. Nuclear energy, it could be the biggest boon to mankind, to be used for good, to have more leisure time for what? To learn Torah, not to have more leisure time for Avedis, not to use it for atomic bombs, Chas v'Shalom, to destroy each other, but to use it for good. And that's why it says, make sure that it be from one piece. That means all the chachmas. It's all supposed to be part and parcel, not separate. Part and parcel of the Torah itself. As we know, the truth is, all the chachmas are contained in the Torah itself. We can learn E equals MC squared if we had the ability to see it from the Torah. All chachmas. And that's the point also, that it has to be beaten out. Because Dehu Darko Shel Torah, as the Mishnah Rabba says, to be Amel, Amelus, only with toil, and to give your whole Lev and Nefesh to understand and learn and accomplish what Hashem wanted for you. It would also seem that it's actually in reverse, the Pesukim. The fact that it talks first about the lighting and then it talks about the actual making of the menorah. And we would seem that it would just be the opposite order. But I would think we could say that what it's telling us is that even without the menorah itself, you can symbolize it, the ma'isei, a menorah, as the yeshiva, as a place to learn, the Beis HaMedrash, that what is telling us, that even if you don't have that actual physical building, no matter where you are, you have to light that menorah. You have to make your own Beis HaMedrash, your own yeshiva, no matter what circumstances, no matter what location. Then the Torah speaks about the choosing of the Levim and initiating them in their office in the Beis HaMikdash. And as Rosh Hashiva points out, the Levim, we've seen from their birth, how in Bereishis, Parshas Vayetze, when it came to the naming of the Shvatim, it was Hashem himself who named Levi. Why? Because as Hashem knows the future, they are the ones, as far as the Shevet as a whole, they were always individuals from the Shvatim, but as the Shevet as a whole, that kept the faith, so to speak, that didn't slip up when the other Shvatim fell by the wayside, by the Egel, by the Raglin, etc. And therefore, it shows from Levaya, Levi, the attachment that they've had. And who is the attachment? It is to Hashem. And that is because the gematria, as the Rosh Hashiva points out, of Levim is Elokim, the same 86 gematria. And we can say also, 91 being the gematria of the Shem Havaya, as it is written, and is it pronounced, and therefore halavim with the hey ayudia, because of what we just said, it also shows again that complete attachment always to Hashem, whether he is Hashem, whether he acts as the strict shofet or with the midas harachamim, it's always the same. And of course we've seen that Levi and Shimon were both showers of attachment as far as family attachment also, as we see in Chumash Bereishis. Even with Yosef, it was the fact that they judged him as a roidif, and it was for the family that he shouldn't destroy the family. And of course by Dina, with Shechem. But the point is, Levi is the one who, when it came between family and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always picked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we know, of course, by the Egel, where there even was relatives, Mi Lashem Eloi, it was Shevet Levi who put always Hashem above all else. We have Shimon, for instance, by the Baal Peor, Zimri, went the other way. In Pasuk Yutes, Rashi points out the fact that five times Bnei Yisrael is mentioned in the Pasuk, symbolizing how dear, beloved they are to Hashem, just like the five Chumshei Torah. And Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out that if we have examined the Pasuk, notice that it says, no, as halavim, the Levim are coming as Shluchei Bnei Yisrael, because the others lost that position to be Oivin in the Beis HaMikdash because of the Averas. And therefore, what the Pasuk is showing is the status, especially, and the Chiba that the Levim have. And Rosh Hashiva points out, and that we see in the five Chumashim. In Breishis, for instance, where we mentioned before about how Hashem is the one who called the name of Shevet Levi, Levi himself, the progenitor of Shevet Levi. And in Shemos, of course, by Mitzrayim, how Shevet Levi were the ones who kept the faith. And, of course, the Egel. And in Vayikra, which deals with Kabanos, the Beis HaMikdash, we of course again, Shevet Levi are the ones who are designated for that. And here, right where we are, and in Devarim, where you see that when the brachas are given at the end, it's Shevet Levi, the ones who are given the task, as far as the Shevet as a whole, to be the teachers of the Torah and the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. And one must always remember that never to lose heart, even those that are not from Shevet Levi, as the Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Shemitah, that everyone has to understand that they have the capability to reach the highest heights, just as Levi, just as the greatest tzaddikim, as long as they do their best to do what Hashem wants them to. By Shlishi, when it talks about the Pesach, so according to the Manda Omar in the Gemara, that says that they were not required to do the Korban Pesach in the Midbar until they got into Eretz Yisrael proper. We can ask, why did Hashem see fit to tell them at this point to do the Korban Pesach in the Midbar? So Rosh Hashiv explains, because what we can say is, at this point of time, they are still headed to Eretz Yisrael. The Aveira of the Meraglim has not come up yet. And therefore, they are on the road to enter Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Hashem sees fit to tell them to do the Korban Pesach, to make them understand that since they're on the road, it's as if, so to speak, they are there, machshirei mitzvah kemitzvah, to drive home this point, that you're right there, about to enter, and that's good enough to give you the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, it's also here. So we can also ask why the Torah did not specifically mention who these people are that came, that were Tamei, and asked Moshe Rabbeinu that they wanted to somehow have a chelek in the Korban Pesach. And the Rosh Hashiv of Moshe Zatzal and the Rosh Moshe explains that what the Torah wanted to show here, that if we were told who these people were, and they were great tzaddikim, we would think that that's why they were deserving of the parsha of the Torah to be written because of them, so to speak, through them. But no, Hashem wanted to show that doesn't matter, so to speak, who they were. They didn't have to be famous tzaddikim. The fact that any Yidden had this great love to any kind of way to have that chelek in the mitzvah, even if their tummy, somehow to try to figure out somehow any situation they're in, to still do their utmost to get the mitzvah, any chelek whatsoever, that love to do the mitzvah of Hashem, is worthy of being capable of having a parsha of the Torah written through them. And even now that the Torah is written, we have it all, the Torah Shebichsav. But we can say also from this that any person who shows this love to chap any kind of mitzvah whatsoever they can, any time they can, will also be given the understanding to grow to the highest heights he's capable of in knowing the Torah. By revealing, it mentions how by the rising of the Anan, they knew when to travel, when to encamp. And it's interesting how the Torah goes into detail, whether it's for a day or any kind of different amounts of time, instead of just saying, that, for instance, one simple statement of no matter how long it was, then they would travel accordingly when it left. And the Rosh Hashiva explains that one of the reasons we can say the Torah does this is to show that this was all a test, that Hashem wanted to see, will they be chas v'shalom bayit against Hashem, getting fed up with how long or how short of a time they had to remain in a certain place. Or even, as Rosh Hashiva Zatzal and Darash Moshe explains, that even the great ones could have the Yetzahara as far as the interruption in their learning or whatever it might be. This was all the point of these different stays and journeys, to see, as in fact we see that did happen at times, when you have afterwards that they were complaining about the Inui HaDerech or whatever. This is the point. The bottom line is that even if something seems to be having no rhyme or reason, but the point is that it's the will of Hashem, we should know that it doesn't matter if we understand it or not, that that's for the best, and we have to accept it with simcha, no matter what it is, as the Gemara says. And that's the point, at least one of them, for this detailed description of the journeys of the Midbar. Perek Yud, when it talks about the two Chatzitzreis Kesef that were made, and as Rashi explains in Pasuk Beis, that it was like for Moshe Rabbeinu, he was considered the Melech, like it says in Zvachim, for Beis Amarav. And it also says, I say lecha, that it should be from Moshe Rabbeinu's own money. So Shiva asks, l'chayra, if we just explained that it's like a melech, we would think the people should pay for it, for the king, the covet that he so rightly deserves. But the Rashi explains that no, that as we know, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was a king, but the highest form, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, the giver and teacher of the Torah. And as we know, and like the Gemara Chagiga says, that for that, one is not allowed to take any payment. As Hashem said, just like I taught you the Torah and gave you the Torah, took no payment, so also you, who teach the Torah, it should be the same way. Pasuk Chavtes begins the interchange between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law Yitzchak, trying to convince him to come to Eretz Yisrael with them. And he says that V'hayu akiseleich imanu V'hayu atova hu asher yitiv Hashem imanu.